Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you today. Hope you've had a good week. Welcome back to God's house. Always good to be in the Lord's house. And on Sunday, it's a good day, isn't it? It's the Lord's day that He's given to us, and we appreciate you being here today. Those that are visiting with us and have assembled with us today, and others that are here, we're trusting God for a good day in the Lord's house today. And I trust you've had a good week. Well, another month is gone, isn't it? Yep. Here it is, another month tomorrow, and time is slipping right through our hands, so to speak. But praise the Lord for life and every day He gives us. And it's a blessing every day He is. And thank you again for being here today. I want to pray and ask God to bless our time together. And once again, thank you for being in God's house today for Sunday school. Let's pray. Father, thank you for life. Thank you for another day. Another opportunity that we can come together as your people in your house. Dear God, I pray, Lord, as we come together this morning, Lord, as we open your word together, may the Spirit of God guide us. May He teach us, Lord, what we need in our lives this week. You know what we're going to face, Lord, even tomorrow, even the rest of this day. And I pray, Lord, that the word of God will be sufficient to enable us and help us, Lord, to be what we ought to be for you. Until Jesus comes. Bless those that are out, those that are sick, those that are shut in, not able to be with us. I pray you strengthen them, Lord, today. Lord, now bless your people through your word today. And we'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Ephesians again is where we are. Ephesians. Today we begin a new chapter, chapter number 4. Brother Tower, do you mind helping me, Brother Alfred? Passing these things out. Yeah. I want to pass out some sheets for you. It's a little outline of what we've been doing. I waited to about halfway through our book of Ephesians. Give you some review back what we've studied and maybe look forward to what we're going to study. Because we're midway now. There's 6 chapters in the book of Ephesians. We know the Ephesians, the book of Ephesians emphasizes the church as the body of Christ with Him being the head. Him being the head. And we talked about that. We also see that in chapters 1, 2, and 3, He has told us of the riches of His grace and the riches of His glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about that in the past weeks. We also see that we're talking about the church is likened to a body in chapter 1. In chapter 2, the church is likened to a temple. In chapter 3, the church is likened to a mystery in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And so we see that part 1 of Ephesians has to do with our position in Christ, who we are in Christ. Folks, I think we should not take for granted who we are in Christ Jesus. It's all about Him and what He's done for us. In these 3 chapters, we've learned what we have. We have learned what we have in Christ Jesus. Well, now as we advance over into chapter 4, we talk here about a new thing. And we're going to look at it today as we look in chapter 4 and verse number 1. In chapter 4 and verse number 1, we begin with today the walk of the Christian believer. Now, we have learned what we have, okay, in Christ. Now, we need to live what we have learned. To live what we've done. Live what we have learned. Thank you. What good is what I have learned to me if I don't practice it? What good is what I have learned about Christ if I do not practice what I've learned? You know, it won't be any benefit to me, and I won't help anybody else if I don't live what I've learned in my life. And I trust today as Christians especially that we will be. You should have kept them, brother. There'll be some more people come in, probably. But anyway, practicing what we learn is so important in our life as a Christian. For example, no matter where I'm at, if I'm at home, or if I'm out at a restaurant, wherever I'm at, is one thing I always do. I always say the blessing before I eat. Always say the blessing. This is something I've learned. This is something I practice. And you'd be surprised sometimes at the people that are watching you when you do that. When you do that. See, it's a light. It's a signal to people of who you are. I've seen people in restaurants that prayed before they ate. Most people don't pray. They just sit down and start cramming. Sit down and start cramming. Shame on me and shame on you. If I sit down before what God has provided for me, I don't thank Him for it before I eat it. Shame on me. I should get choked. You should get choked. Really. And I say that respectfully. Because we are to always be minded of what God has done for us and what He's doing for us every day. So we should learn what we have in Christ and then practice what we've learned. So today we're going to talk about the walk of the Christian believer. The walk of the Christian believer. Up till now, we have talked about many things. We talked about the instructions from the Word of God, the doctrine, if you please, from the Word of God. And we have to have doctrine. We have to know what we believe, okay? That's so important in our life, to know what we believe. We've talked about the eternal plan of God for the Christian believer so far. We have talked also about the great blessings of God, how God has blessed us through Christ Jesus, and what He is to us. We've talked about the knowledge and the power of God. To know God and to know His power is so important in our life. We talked about the work of God's mercy and also the work of God's grace, God's marvelous grace in our lives to enable us to be who we are today, God's child, God's child. We talked about reconciliation. We talked about the peace of God that He gives. We talked in essence about the church, the new body that Jesus Christ is creating to bring unity to people in the world today. We said that the world is dividing people, but Christ is trying to unite people. And that should be our part as God's children, to bring people together. You know, it's amazing. Wherever you go, you can run up with Christian people. You can begin conversation with them, and you pick right up on the fact they're Christians because of their conversation, how they handle themselves, how they speak, what they talk about, what they talk about. I believe God's people ought to talk about the goodness of God. When we're in the midst of people, talk about how good God is. Brag on God and let them know, hey, I believe in God. I trust God. Everything I need and I have in my life. That's so important to brag on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we talked about all this, about instructions and how we deal with doctrine. What we now see that what's happening here, God is joining, through Paul, doctrine with practice. Doctrine with practice. He is, if you please, joining teaching with the results of teaching. Results of teaching should be practicing what I have been taught, what I've been taught, you know. It's one thing to know something, but it's much better to practice it, to live it in our lives. And this is what we're seeing here in chapter number 4 as we begin studying here. We're talking about now the walk of the Christian believer. How should we walk? How should we walk? I've got a list of things there before you of walking, how we should walk and how we the way we walk. But today we're going to talk about simply the walk, the worthy walk of the believer. Look in chapter 4, verse 1. Paul says, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. Now Paul said this back in chapter 1. Paul was in prison in Rome. He says, I therefore am the prisoner of the Lord. Now, Paul is in jail, and he is not proud, but he thanks God that God has given him an opportunity, even in jail, to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ through teaching, through writing the Word of God that is given to him here. So we see here that Paul here is giving us this. We see, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, what's that next word? Beseech you. Beseech you. Now, what does that mean? First of all, we're going to look at this today. We must walk worthy of the position to which God has exalted you today as a child of God. We must walk worthy of the position that we are in Christ Jesus. Okay? It's very important. If you're a lawyer, if you're a teacher, if you are an executive, whatever career you have in your life, don't you consider the fact that you should walk worthy of that career, no matter what it is? In other words, people should respect you for the fact of what you're doing in your career. Well, likewise, as a Christian, we should walk worthy of what God has done for us and put us where He is, where we are today. So we see here now, the way to walk worthy. The way to walk worthy. How do we do this? How do I walk worthy as a Christian? We know, I know, I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve God's love. But I thank God He loved me. I thank God He saved me. Now, since He has loved me, He has saved me, I should walk worthy of that calling, of that position that God has put me in as a child of God. I should walk worthy of that position, you see. And Paul says here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. Beseech you. Now, would you not acknowledge with me that God could command or God could demand us to walk worthy? He could. He could demand us or He could command us. Either way, and be right in what He's doing. But God doesn't work like that. God wants us to be a willing servant and willing surrendered to Him, willingly. See, He wants us to volunteer ourselves to be willing, to walk worthy of this calling that we have. He says, I beseech you, I encourage you, I entreat you, if you please. I entreat you, I encourage you, Paul is saying to the Christian here. He says, beseech you that you what? Walk worthy. That you walk worthy. Paul says, I want you to walk worthy. I want you to walk worthy. Walk is our conduct, our behavior. Our walk is our conduct and our behavior. That's what our walk consists of as a Christian. Worthy is when we manifest through our lives the love of Christ in us. That's how we are to present ourselves worthy to people. You see, manifest Christ in. If people can't, I want people to see Christ in me, okay? I don't go around with a flag on me and say I'm a Christian. No, I want people to see Christ in me, in my person. See, no matter where I go, no matter what I do. That's walking worthy, okay? We do not become a Christian by living the Christian life, folks. We don't become a Christian by living the Christian life. No more than you become a car by sleeping in the garage. The Christian life is one that we live by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. By His love. We are exhorted to live the Christian life because we are Christians. We are Christians. We bear the name Christ. That's a very important name, Christians. A very important name, the name that is above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are to exhort that name in our life as we live from day to day. Make sure that our lives measure up to our position in Christ. Our position in Christ. Now, we see three things emphasized, or maybe I should say, you can summarize Ephesians in three words. The first word is sitting. The second word is walking. And the third word is standing. You can summarize Ephesians in those three words. Now, we've talked about sitting. Back in chapter 2, look with me. In verse number 6. Sitting. Ephesians. There's sitting, there's walking, there's standing throughout the book as we summarize the whole book of Ephesians. Sitting is in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6. We've already read this and talked about this. And has raised us up together and made us what? Sit together where? In heavenly places in who? Christ Jesus. See, so the first emphasis in Ephesians is sitting. We're seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. That's where we are. Spiritually speaking, we're in Christ in heaven. Okay? Now, the second word that I mentioned was walking. Back over into chapter 4, look at verse number 1. We just read it. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk. Walk. You walk worthily. Okay? Of the vocation where ye are called. This is the second word that's emphasized throughout the book of Ephesians. The rest of this chapter deals with walking as a Christian. How we are to walk. How we are to live. You know. I'm glad I'm saved. I know you're glad you're saved. Thank God for His grace, His mercy for saving us. But we need to learn how to walk. We need to learn how to live. Since we are Christians, you see, in this world. And I must confess to you, it's only by the grace of God that I'm saved, first of all, and it's only by the grace of God that I will ever walk worthy of the vocation He's called me into. Only by His grace. It's by His help that I can do this only. Now, the third word I mentioned was standing. Standing. Over in Ephesians chapter number 6. Look at it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand. So we see three words that emphasize or summarize, if you please, the book of Ephesians. There's sitting, there's walking, and there's standing. They're very important. They're very important in the Christian life. We're seated in Christ Jesus. We're walking worthy of the profession, of the vocation that He's called us into. And we're having to stand against the wiles of Satan, of devil, to do this, to accomplish this thing. And it's all done through and by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And by the grace of God that He enables us to do it. So we see the way to walk worthy now. Back in verse number 1 of chapter 4. Back in chapter 4, verse number 1 and 2. First of all, we see, verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Okay? He's emphasizing, I want you to walk worthy of the position that you're in now. Now, we're getting into the way to walk worthy. God is joining now a doctrine that we've learned with practice, okay? With practice. We know who we are in Christ. We know what Christ has done for us and all this. And now we're getting down to the fact of how to do it. How to live the Christian life. How to walk. How to live as a Christian. Notice it says in verse number 2. First of all what? Lowliness. We're to walk with all lowliness. The believer must walk with all lowliness. To present oneself as lowly, okay? With a lowly mind. To be of a low degree, a low rank, okay? Not to be high-minded. Now, I'm not saying we're to say ourselves, I am nobody, okay? But we're to be low-minded. low-minded, not to be high-minded, be lowly. Humility reaps a lot of benefits. Did you know that? Humility reaps a lot of benefits in our lives if we just practice this. I can't say to you I'm humble. You can't say to me that you're humble. Humility is something that is evident in a person's life. You see it. Okay? You just see it. It's a trait in their life. By the way they handle themselves, by the way they speak, the way they act, how they respond, all these things. Humility is so important. It reaps a lot of benefits, folks. First of all, we see that it results in a person coming to Christ and learning Him, about Him. You know, we must humble ourselves to come to Christ. Christ is not going to consider us or anybody that comes to Him boasting about themselves. We must humble ourselves before the Lord. The Bible teaches us that. Come to Him in humility, humbly before Him, begging, crying before Him, acknowledging to Him who we are. So humility reaps a lot of benefits. It results in coming to Christ. It results in even being saved, conversion, being humble. Do you find it hard today for yourself, I am myself, and anybody that I may converse with or try to talk to about the Lord, for us today to realize and to say to ourselves and say to one another that I am a sinner? I find it harder and harder today to get people to acknowledge that they're sinners. Nobody today sins. Nobody today sins. Therefore, nobody today is humble. That's why we're seeing less and less people being saved. I believe that with all my heart. Humility benefits. It brings conversion. Whenever I get to the point that I realize I'm lost, I'm undone, I need to be saved, it humbles me. It humbles me. Because I know and I recognize I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I'm just a lost sinner. Lost on my way to a devil's hell. And I need forgiveness in my life. Folks, that humbles somebody. That humbles people. Humility brings conversion. It results in a person coming to Christ. It also results in one being exalted in Christ through redemption. Humility does. Humility brings a lot of benefits in our lives as human beings. It also results in a healthy relationship. We find here verse number 2. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, we just talked about it. A healthy relationship is brought about because of humility. Humility. It acknowledges and boasts others. Humility does. We acknowledge other people and we boast other people, not ourselves, but other people. Other people are acknowledged and boast. It leads again to a better relationship between us as people because of that. Humility does. Also, it motivates others to grow and to do more. Whenever somebody encourages you somehow in the Lord, it motivates you, doesn't it, to do more for the Lord, to strive to read your Bible more, to study more, to pray more, to witness more. When somebody says, hey, you're doing a good job in that class. I love the way you do this, the way you sing, the way you usher, whatever you're doing. It motivates people to do that. And also, all these things we have to do with humility unites us. It unites us together, you see. I'm no better than you are. You're no better than I am. And thank God for Christ is better than all of us.
Amen.
You know, we're all the same in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how long we've been saved, how young we are, how old we are, in Christ we're all the same, you see. So humility is so important. we see that it reaps benefits for us. Humility also requires an honest evaluation of oneself. An honest evaluation of oneself. It comes from knowing ourselves. You ever look at yourself in the mirror and say, who are you? Really, who are you? Do we really know ourselves? We know, gentlemen, that our wives know us well, don't they? They really do. They know us better than we know ourselves sometimes. Right, Brother Alford? Amen. But do we really know ourselves? Humility requires an honest evaluation of oneself. It takes courage to look at ourselves, folks. It takes courage to examine our own lives, to look at our own selves, you see. I'm afraid sometimes I'm too busy looking at other things and other people, and I'm not looking at myself and evaluating myself like I should. Who am I? The songwriter put it, that a king would bleed and die for. Who am I? Who am I? You see, humility requires an honest evaluation of ourselves. It takes honesty to see ourselves as we really are, as who we really are. It takes honesty. I have to be honest with myself. Who am I? You know, who am I? Honestly. Brother Alford was telling Brother Reese this morning, a while ago, about his power went off at 11 o'clock and come on to 1. Reese told Brother Alford, said, my power went off about 10 o'clock and it come on back to about 5 this morning when I woke up. Well, that's the way I am. In other words, he went to sleep at 10 o'clock, okay? And he didn't get up to 5. My power goes all out about 10 o'clock too every night. And it comes back on maybe about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, we have to be honest with ourselves who we are. Who are we? Who are we? Who are we in the eyes of God? That's more important, folks, than anybody else. Who are we in God's eyes? Humility requires an honest evaluation of ourselves. Humility reaps benefits for us. And Paul says, with all lowliness, we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherein we are called, with all lowliness. With all lowliness. Also, we see that humility requires courage. Requires courage. It takes courage, folks, to be honest about our self-centeredness. Our self-centeredness. You ever find yourself thinking a lot about yourself? Being self-centered? Being self-centered? I think we all do at times. We all do at times. We have to be honest, folks. We need to be honest. We really do. We also see it to change by coming to Christ as a small child. It takes courage. We had, was it last Sunday? Had 3 people come to Christ. It took courage for those people to come down this aisle and want to ask somebody to tell people how to get saved. It takes courage, folks, to do that. That courage through being humble. Being humble. It's so amazing how being humble gives you courage. It does. It gives you courage. More than you could imagine. It benefits us. Humility does. When you're just humble before people, you just are gentle to people. You're considerate to people. And you want to begin to talk to people. I don't care if it's a stranger, who it is. Somehow God gives you courage to talk to those people. And it's through humility. Yourself being nobody, you know? And you want to tell everybody about somebody that can make them special to God. Humility is so important. Humility reaps benefits. Humility requires an honest evaluation of oneself, and humility requires courage. to give ourselves to the cause of Christ and others. It takes courage. We have need in this church right now for people to work. Teachers, monitors. We need people in this church to work. I'm telling you this as an adult class. We need people. It takes courage to step out by faith and trust God to do that. It takes courage. But it also takes humility. It takes humility. You never know when you take a class what people are going to say about you. It can be good, it can be bad. But you know what? No matter what people say about you, if it's good or bad, God is trying to make us humble before Him. And to let our students, whoever they are, to know, hey, I'm depending upon God to give me what to say to you and Him only, you know? And I want you to pray for me that I'll do just that, you see. It's amazing how God works sometimes. But humility requires courage. Courage. Look at number two, in verse number two. With all lowliness and what? Meekness. The believer must walk with all lowliness. The believer must walk with meekness. I've said before, and I'll say it again, meekness is not weakness, folks. Meekness is not weakness. The believer must walk with all meekness. It means to be gentle. It means to be tender, yet strong. But yet strong. That's a characteristic that is rare today. It really is. And it's my prayer, and I hope it's your prayer, that God would enable me to be more meek. To be more meek. Meekness has a humble state of mind. A humble state of mind. Meekness desires to be a friend and to help all people. Help all people. Desires to be a friend and to help all people. That's being meek. Meekness has a strong state of mind. A strong state of mind. Meekness, if someone is suffering, it does all it can to help when someone is suffering. That's meekness. It's gentleness. If evil is being done, meekness does what it can to stop it and to overcome it. That's being meek. It's being gentle, it's being tender, but it's being strong. That's a rare characteristic, isn't it? To be meek. To be gentle, be kind, yet to be strong. To be strong also. If evil is indulging itself, meekness will strike at it. Sometimes even in anger. The Bible says, be angry and what? Sin not. Meekness sometimes, meekness when evil is personifying itself, will strike by anger towards that evil to stop it. There is a time, folks, Christians, that we need to stand. And sometimes it may not be, you know, the way we want to stand, but we need to stand. And when we stand in meekness, sometimes it works out to be this way. So meekness has a humble state of mind. It has a strong state of mind. We also see that meekness has a strong self-control. Self-control. How are we to walk? We're to walk in lowliness. We're to walk in meekness. We're to walk and a strong self-control. The meek person controls his spirit and his mind. His spirit and his mind is controlled by God. By God. He controls the lust of his flesh. A meek person does. He controls the lust of the flesh. One of the biggest problems we all face in our lives is the lust of the flesh. The flesh. Always crying out, isn't it? Always wanting this, wanting that. Do this, do that. That's the flesh. But the meek person has control of the flesh. He has control of the flesh. We're to walk in meekness. We're to walk in meekness. He even dies to himself, a meek person does. Okay, I'll do this for you, and I'm not going to do this for myself that I was going to do. I'm going to put that aside, and I'm going to do this for you. Okay? He dies to himself. A meek person does. It's a characteristic that we all need. He walks in a humble, tender, a strong state of mind. A meek person does. We also see that God is meek, isn't he? Christ is meek, isn't he? He is. And we as believers are also to be meek. We're to be meek. We're to be gentle. We're to be tender. But yet, we're to be strong. Gentle, tender, but strong. That's meek. Okay? Humble. Humility is also a benefit that we need as a Christian. Paul says this is the way we're to walk as believers. We're talking about the way to walk worthy. The way to walk worthy. That is the way to walk to manifest Christ in us. These characteristics are to be seen. They're to be seen. Lowliness and meekness. Also, we see, as we just get started here in this, with all lowliness and meekness, with what? Long-suffering. Long-suffering. We're to walk in long-suffering. Long-suffering never strikes back. It never strikes back. Okay? The power to suffer the situation or a person for a long time. That's all by the grace of God. Long-suffering. I'm so glad that God is long-suffering to us. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Likewise, long-suffering is one of the great traits of God that he shows us. Long-suffering is so important in the life of a Christian. So how are we to walk? We see here, we have learned what we have, and now we're to live what we've learned. Okay? And that is, first of all, the walk of the believer. The walk of the Christian is to be in lowliness, is to be in meekness, and is to be in long-suffering. Long-suffering. May the Lord help us as we continue next week with these traits of the walk of the believer. The walk of the believer. And may God enable me to be what I should be, and you to be what you should be, that others somehow may see Christ in us. Folks, that's what it's all about anyway. Pointing others to the Savior. And one of the best ways to point others to the Savior is our walk. Our walk as a Christian. You know, it's been said so many times, we'll never win a person to Christ until we win them, first of all, to who? Ourselves. Ourselves. If people can't see in us Christ, they're not going to want to walk. They're not going to want to know Christ. Much less live for him. Much less live for him. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the writing of Paul. Lord, the instructions he's given us now. Lord, as we practice these things now that we've learned, Lord, help us. God, we can only do it by your grace and by your power and by your strength. Help us, dear God, as we go forth each day. Thank you for this class. Thank you for these dear people that come Sunday mornings to sit. I pray, dear God, their time is not wasted. Lord, they're learning something. Lord, in how to live the Christian life. God, help us to be what you want us to be. Lord, we move now to the next service. I pray for our pastor that you will bless him, empower him, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Give him the liberty to speak what you've laid upon his heart, the message. God, give us ears and hearts to hear and to listen and to receive. Lord, if there's one in the midst that's lost, I pray they might become a Christian today before it's too late. Bless the singing. Lord, may all that's done in this place today bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.